All right, Book of John, if you would, please. Book of John tonight. John chapter 8. I'm not going to get through the whole chapter tonight because I'm going to preach from it on Sunday night. And I'm going to preach starting in verse number 43. I'm going to give you your All Hallows Eve night message before All Hallows Eve takes place. And from the Bible, but I'm going to use John chapter 8, verse 43. So I'll stop when I get to there. I don't think I'm going to get that far anyway. We'll see how it goes. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for tonight. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you for getting us through the day. Thank you for taking care of us throughout the day. Thank you for keeping us safe throughout the day. Thank you for giving us food today. Lord, thank you for giving us everything you gave us today, Lord. Appreciate it, Lord. I pray we stopped at some point throughout the day and just stopped and said, thank you, Lord. Even through the frustrations and all the things that maybe not went right today for us and all that, we know we got one thing right. If we're saved, we're going home to heaven. And Lord, we know you live in us and the Spirit of God lives in us. And Lord, you can produce a fruit of the Spirit in us, Lord, that we can't produce. Allow us to live down here and not be miserable, but bring glory to you. So we're real thankful tonight. Lord, may we just settle down in here tonight, Lord, with the Bible in our hand and try to put away everything in our minds, Lord, that's on the docket and reviewing everything that happened today or didn't happen today. And Lord, just sit down and say, Lord, certainly would appreciate it if you just gave me something tonight. Lord, help me. You know my need. You know what I need. You know maybe I need encouragement. Maybe I need rebuke. Maybe whatever my need is, Lord, pray you give it to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I was in John chapter 8 last week. I'll go back and just start in verse number 1 just to keep it going there. And then I'll get to where I think I left off. Problem is, if I keep re-preaching this thing, I'm never going to get through the book of John. I shouldn't go back and reread it, but it's just probably the right thing to do to get the passage. John chapter 8 and verse number 1, Bible says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him. He sat down and taught them. There you go, Brother Gordon, there we can use the stool for teaching. He sat down and taught them, so it's in the Bible, right? All right. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. When they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law, now they're going to start laying it out there for him. We went through all this last week. I won't rehash it there. But the one thing you should remember from last week is understand their intentions. They're not worried about the law. They're not worried about the Bible, not worried anything about that. It's the intentions and the motives behind why they're bringing this woman. They didn't even bring the man. They know what to do. If they know five, they know what the law says. They should have picked up stones and stoned them both. But they didn't do that. That's not the intentions why they brought it to the Lord. And I'll just remind you tonight, the Lord knows your intentions. He knows why you do what you do and what's behind everything you do. The motive behind what you do. The intents and the thoughts of your heart. And now how you're saying someone, the Bible talks about, and I think it's in the book of Proverbs there, he says there, you know, just because the outside and the lips with their heart, man, in their heart, man, they're tearing them apart. And sometimes we can speak to people with our lips and our mouth, and man, everything's saying, you know, honey and sweetie and all that. Just go to a restaurant. You know how the waitress talks. Honey, you know what she wants? She wants a tip. Give her a tip, whether she calls you honey, sweetie, whatever, you know. But, you know, what's the intention? She don't care anything about you. Yeah, but she's making it sound like she's your best friend, like she's known you forever, and you're the honey, and you're the sweetie, and, you know, then you got to explain all that to your kids. Why is she calling you honey? I thought mom calls you honey. I don't know. Right? But it's the intents. Just because what comes out your mouth, but it's what's in your heart. And so here he's getting what was in their heart, and just a reminder of that, I'll move on from that. Verse 6, this said they tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. See, there they go. They're going after him there. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger. Now, you might want to learn from this. Instead of combating them right there, most people, maybe they try to bring something your way with the intentions of trying to draw you into something or get you involved in something and get you to fight back. You realize the Lord didn't even look at him, and he didn't even respond to him the first time. You know, the Bible says, answer a fool according to his folly, and don't answer a fool according to his folly. Sometimes it's just better off not to answer. Sometimes it's not worth an answer. Maybe the intentions, what they're trying to do and draw you in and those kind of things, it's not even worth a response. The Lord didn't even lift his head. I mean, they quoted Moses and the law and the Bible. That didn't get his attention. He knew their heart. And so just a little note for you there. Be careful. Don't get drawn into everything there. The Lord stooped down and didn't even look at them. You know what makes somebody mad when they're trying to draw you into something? When you don't give any attention to it. A lot of people stewing about stuff tonight in their own mind and stuff like that, and they think the other person's stewing as much as they are, and the other person's not stewing at all. Sometimes all they want is for the other person to stew as much as they're stewing. But the Lord didn't even give it anything. He didn't even look at it. He's like, you know what? I'm not even going to address you guys. I'm just going to stoop down here. And you realize in the Bible there, it doesn't say what the Lord wrote. That's pretty interesting. We'll stop there and rehash it all again. I won't get through anything. So let's go to 7:6. This said they tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. There you go. There's some written words. There's other times in the Bible he wrote with his finger. You know that, right? So here, that's not the only time he did it. Moses, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, and they didn't give up, did they? They kept on him. He lifted up himself. So he was stooped down in verse 6. Now he lifted up himself and said unto them. I think he just lifted his head up. Look what he said. And said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast a first stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. He paused. He said, all right, fellas, you know, let's call you out here. And as I preached on Sunday, if it's under the rug, it's not under the blood. I'm glad when it's under the blood, though. Aren't you glad it's forgotten? See, the Lord even knows what's under the rug. That's why if you show up at the judgment seat of Christ up there and you got stuff under the rug still, you say, well, it's under the rug. I'm in heaven. Yeah, but you might find out it might catch up to you up there at the judgment seat of Christ. That's why it's better to get it under the blood. And once it's under the blood, it's forgotten. And that's a blessing. But back to 7, now 8. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. He said unto her, woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And I think there's where we left off last week. Go and sin no more. Jesus wasn't excusing the sin. Don't you read into that thinking, well, you know, I mean, Jesus must not have cared what she was all messy. He sure did. It was sin. But once he got, and then he says there, and he went in and got forgiveness, and he said, now listen, lady, listen, woman, don't go back to that mess. Go and sin no more. Aren't you glad when you're saved, you go in a different direction? Don't go back to the old world. Don't go back to the old stuff and all that kind of stuff. Well, I got liberty. I got eternal security. So, you know, what does it matter? It matters to God. Go and sin no more. All right, verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. All kinds of I am. So I'm not going to go through them tonight with you, but I'll get to them. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He's the light of the world. Aren't you glad he can bring a light to you? Aren't you glad he can illuminate? He illuminates that book for you. I'm glad what the Lord does for us. I'm glad he can bring knowledge to us. He's the one who brings light to you. Have you ever heard someone say, well, the light bulb just turned on? Aren't you glad when the Lord turns the light on for you and gives you some understanding of that book right there? I don't know about you, but that's one of the greatest blessings you've got is when the Lord gives you light of that book. And that's a blessing. And he is the light of the world. And look at the last part of the verse. He says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. I'll give you some things about their salvation here in a moment and that following Jesus, but shall have the light of life. Psalm 119, 105, the word of God is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Thank God for that book. You need light on something, go to the light. The light is Jesus. This book will bring light to you. It'll shine what you need from the Bible. Verse number 13, please. So now they go back, and the Pharisees, I'm going to give you something on Pharisees tonight. I'm going to show you what a Pharisee is and make sure you're not a Pharisee tonight. You say, well, these Pharisees and stuff like that. Well, I'm going to give you something here at the end once I get to the point here, stopping point. I'm going to jump off and then go through some things about a Pharisee and make sure we don't have some of those Pharisaical tendencies in our own selves. Maybe we sit here tonight as a Pharisee. I'll give you a bunch of things to look at, and you can look at it and run it through those things here, but let me just stop here for a second. The Pharisee therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Can you imagine calling the Lord a liar? So I'd never do that. Are you sure? I don't know. You go against that book's true, right? That book's true. They say, I don't think that record is true. I'm glad I believe this record to be true. These are his words. He said, thy word is truth. It's settled in heaven. I thank God, I believe he gave it to us and we have it. Verse 14. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. They knew the law. They knew what it said back there. Two or three witnesses and things like that. So the Lord's going to get to that. He's going to say, I have more witnesses than just me. But even if it was just me, it's true. That Bible's true. And so he comes in here and he said, all right, verse number 14, for I know whence I came and whither I go. I'm glad I know whence I came and I know where I'm going. He says, I know whence I came and whither I go, but you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. I'm pretty sure the Lord wins that argument. And can I just remind you? He wins every argument. So just believe him. Instead of arguing with him and arguing with the Bible, well, I don't know if I don't see it this way. The Bible's right, and if you don't agree with the Bible, you're wrong, and the Bible's always right. All right, so he comes in here, verse 15. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. Now you say, well, preacher, you know, judging, that judging stuff. Well, he tells you in Corinthians, I won't have time to, but you are to judge. Judge not lest ye be judged. Careful of that. You just want to make sure the mote's out of your own eye. But you know what you're to do? You're to judge righteously. You know how you judge righteously? You ask the Lord for discernment. That book gives you discernment to be able to judge, and you should judge. There are things to judge. But here's what he said in 15, ye judge after the flesh. And that's usually what we do. Our judgment is usually after our flesh. And if we go back and read Mark and we read Galatians and we go back to those places there and we see what's in our flesh, that's a bad place to be judging. There's nothing in your flesh that can judge spirituality. There's nothing in your flesh that will judge right. You'll just judge according to what's right in your own eyes. You want to judge what's according to right in God's eyes. And your eyes and God's eyes might not line up, but God's eyes are always right. And you get yourself in a lot of problems. You get yourself in a lot of situations when you're making judgments after the flesh. Just because you see something doesn't mean you know everything about it. Just because it might not look right in your eyes doesn't mean it's as bad or as evil or as wicked as it is. You might be real careful about judging after the flesh. He says, you judge after the flesh. I judge no man, and yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. I wonder how much of our life we have spent judging people after the flesh. Did you see so-and-so? Did you hear so-and-so? Did you see what they did? Like they're going to stand before you someday and give an account. They're not going to stand before you someday and give an account. They're going to stand before God someday, and you're going to stand before God someday and give an account. And you're going to give an account of your time on this earth and the amount of time you spent maybe judging after the flesh. Verse 16, 17. 17, he says, 16, for I am not alone, but I and the Father sent me. And there you go. Now he's coming up with more. He's going to give you the Godhead here. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. The Lord knew that. Jesus knew that. Back in 14, he says, if I bear record of myself, it's still true. But I know what you need, so I'll give you that record. I'll give you that testimony. He says in verse 18, I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Why didn't want to lay hands on him? They're mad. They didn't like what he said. You ever got mad because of what the Bible says? I'll just remind you, the Bible is right. And if I'm mad, or if I got offended, as I'll show you here about Pharisee and things along those lines, no greater sign. Listen, Great peace are they which love thy law, and nothing, but you got to love this book, right? And nothing shall offend thee. All right, verse 21. Pretty good verse here. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way. Your way is not my way. We want to make sure we go Jesus' way, by the way. And ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Let me pause there. I'll get to salvation in the book of John here in a moment, here a little farther down there. But understand this principle, this teaching there. If you die in your sins, you do not go where he is. You die in Adam, you die without getting your sins forgiven in the blood of Jesus Christ, you would die and go to hell. Say, well, everybody goes to heaven. No, that's where God is. Not everybody goes where God is. In order to go where God is, you have to come through his son, Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Recognizing you're a sinner and you're on your way to hell, and you repented of that, and you turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and confessed him as the Lord Jesus Christ, confessed yourself a sinner, and then you receive him as your Savior. Now you can go to where he is. But back there you die in your sins. That's that spiritual circumcision we talk about in the book of Colossians there, chapter 2. You know what happened? Your soul got cut free, so now why? You're not in your sins anymore. Your soul is sinless now. But that only happens when you got born again, when you got saved, when you received Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, your soul's still attached to your flesh, your sin debt's still attached to you, and if you don't receive the free gift of salvation, you'll pay for your own sins. And that would be an eternity away from God in the lake of fire. So he tells them here, those that die in their sins, that's why you're to die in Jesus, not in Adam. Back to verse 21, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. They're from beneath. You know what you're from? You're from the dirt. That's what you're from. You're from that dust ball. You're from beneath. You're not above me. I came from above. You're from beneath. Many people think they're going to get to heaven just on their good works or on their deeds or on their own life. And boy, the Lord reminds them, hey, listen, you're from below. You're from beneath. I'm from above. In order to get above, you have to come my way. And you're from beneath. So in verse 23, they're not liking it. He said, I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. Why? See, it's not your sins that ultimately, because you can be forgiven of your sins. You know what you will not be forgiven of? You will not be forgiven of not believing on Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you committed a murder, you can be forgiven and still be saved. If you have any sin in our flesh that we can do any of them. Thank God the blood of Jesus Christ can save you. But here Jesus reminds them, now you know what happens? You know why they died in their sins? Look at verse 24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now look at the next claim here in verse 25. Then said they unto him, who art thou? I mean, has he not been telling them for seven chapters who he is? I mean, do they need it again and again and again and again and again and again and again? Who art thou? All right, well. And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. Don't you have a hard head sometimes? I do. I'll admit me. I'll just use me as the illustrations. You all are soft, gentle, you get everything the first time. Lord never has to tell you twice. You know, I mean, you just holy as holy can be. But sometimes it takes a little bit for it to get into this noggin. Aaron, have I not told you? How many times do I have to tell you? Why do you keep coming back to me with this? Right? Well, here he is, Pharisee. He says, have I not told you from the beginning? And so in verse 26, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, And I speak to the world. For God so loved the what? See, the conversation between the Pharisees and the Lord, and that kind of dominates and going back and forth. But for the world. For the world. Aren't you glad he came for the world? Amen. I'm glad for the world. You know, we try to narrow it down to just us Bible believers. There's other Christians. You got other saved brothers and sisters. You're going to meet them in heaven. Well, you know, we're just, you know, no. You just thank God you're saved. Thank God for it. And you stay humble. Humble. But here he comes in and he says here, listen now, verse 26, I have many things to say unto you and to judge of you. But he that, I'm sure he, and can you might want to write your name right there. Because I'm pretty sure the Lord could have many things to say of me and many things to judge me. Aren't you glad for his mercy? His forgiveness? His forgetfulness? Woo! Glory! Why? Well, right now I've had 48 years on this earth, 48 minus 11, somebody, quickly. 37? So I have 37 years. That might be right if I'm wrong. Just shout it out. 37 years of being saved. I'm pretty sure I got a lot he can know about me. Many things he knows about me. Doesn't that scare you? He knows your private life. He knows your secret life. You know there's a difference between privacy and secrecy? You're to keep things private. You're not to do things in secret. Yeah. But you have a lot of secret thoughts. Well, nobody else knows. God knows even the intent of what you're getting ready to do.
That's right.
Many things. How many of those things are under there instead of under the blood? Why? Because I don't get judged for what's under the blood. It's under the blood. Many things I know about you. What's God know about you tonight? Let me just narrow it down to what's God know about you today. What God know about what you said today, what you've done today, what you've thought today, what you've done today. What's God, many things. Let's just say you woke up at noon. Some of you are like, preacher, how'd you know? I don't know. Because you stay up till like 4. You know that's why the Lord gave time, dark, night, go to sleep, preach that again. You know, if you work hard enough throughout the day, you won't have any problem going home, laying your head on your pillow at night, going to sleep. It'll keep you away from that mess. A lot of mess is going on there at night. But you've had almost, if you just got up at 7, 12 hours, 12 and a half hours today, you've done many things. You've had many thoughts. You probably have said many words today. You add that up for your lifetime, and you're real thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. He says here again, he reminds them, many. I have many things, verse 26, I have many things to say and to judge of you. I'd like to keep that list short. Don't you want a short list? I want a short list. Thank God for 1 John 1:9. But he that sent me is true. You realize every judgment he has is true. See, well, you know what our excuse sometimes is in our own mind, because we know people don't always get things right about us. God gets everything right about you. He's never misjudged you one time. Well, you know, they just didn't understand me. It was just a misunderstanding. You know, they just judged it. But God never does that. It's all, he has a record that is true. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. And then verse 27. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. You got those two words, three, lifted up. lifted up the Son of Man. What's in the future from this passage right here? The cross. You know what he says there? He says, when you have lifted me up, go to chapter 12. He says it again. Look at chapter 12. Lifted me up. Then you'll know who I am. Chapter 12, look at verse 32. And I, if I be lifted up, see, he's talking about the cross, from the earth will draw all men unto me. Go back to John chapter 3. Again, lifted up. You got it there in John 3 when it came to that serpent in the wilderness. And look at verse 14. See, they didn't have an understanding of it, but the Lord put it out there to them. And you reading back in time, you understand what lifted up means. You know he went to the cross. You got all that already. But they're getting it here, and the Lord's putting it in it to them as they're talking to them in 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. He says, ye shall know. You will know who I am. Did it happen? Well, go to Matthew 27. Brother John will get there at the end of the millennium. Matthew 27. He's moving much faster than I am. I can't say anything. Matthew 27. Here it is. Here's the cross. Just drop down for sake of time to 54. So again, he said, he yielded up the ghost in verse 50. So he died. Can I just remind you, he died. No coma. No, Jesus Christ died. Amen. Just like when you take your last breath, he took his last breath. He died. He gave up the ghost. All right, and look at verse 54. Now, right, he said, after I've been lifted up, you'll know who I am. Well, look at verse 54. Now, when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, what'd they say? Truly, this was the Son of God. Just like he said they would. So you're going to lift me up. God darkened the skies for 3 hours. I mean, they knew something was there, something different about that man. And as he said back there, as you're going back to John chapter 8, he said, you'll know who I am. And there he says, truly, this is the Son of God. Do you realize every person someday will admit that he truly is the Lord? Every person,
that's right.
Every atheist who claims there is no God, if they do not receive Jesus Christ as their Savior before they die, will admit one day that truly he is Lord. And after that confirmation, the Lord Jesus Christ will cast them into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. And ever and ever. Aren't you glad you've admitted it already? Amen. I thank God I'm saved. Amen. I thank God I'm not waiting to that day to confess him as the Lord Jesus Christ. I did it now. But there will be a day. Just like he said, hey, when the Son of Man is lifted up, then you'll know. And when it's all said and done, and heaven and earth are passed away, and there's a great white throne out there, and Jesus Christ is sitting on that throne, even Satan himself, Lucifer himself, will bow his knee and confess him to be Lord. But that by that time, at that time, it'll be too late. As it was some day here. Back to John chapter 8. Verse 28 again. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know. You realize Son of Man, Son of God, Son of Man, he was man and God. He hung on that cross as a Son of Man, just as man as you and I. Felt every bit of that pain, every bit of that torture, every bit of it for you and for me. So as a Son of Man, he lifted him up. And then he says, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. 29. Here comes quite a statement in your Bible. Jesus makes some very amazing statements. This is quite a statement here. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things that please him. I was reading that this afternoon, and I was just wondering in my own heart, my own mind, Lord, did I do anything today to please you? I trust I did. I trust I tried in my best ability that I know according to that Bible to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord and pick up the book and try to pray and talk to the Lord and read it and try to do what's right and keep out the things of the world and those kind of things. But don't you want to be pleasing to God? I mean, you think of that statement. He says, I do always. There's not one thing Jesus Christ did that was not pleasing to God. I do always. What's your batting average? If you're a baseball player, 3 out of 10 get you in the Hall of Fame. A batting average of 300 over a career would probably get you in the Hall of Fame. Don't seem very good, 3 out of 10, right? How good you do today? How good you do when you had the opportunity to lose your temper? Did you throw the tool? I saw a guy one time, I was working down over American Equipment there. I was managing that place. Something in the power box, anyway. And he was using one of his tools and it tripped one of the breakers. I mean, he was just flat mad. I mean, he chucked it. He chucked the tool across the thing and he walked all the way across the shop and got over to the thing there. And he had a screwdriver. And he went in there to do it and he hit it and the biggest spark you've ever seen. I thought he died. But whatever he went to do, he was mad. So he went in there mad and he touched something in there. I thought he just killed him. It made him more mad. Well, we can have responses like that. Things don't go our way. We can get pretty frustrated. Jesus always did what pleased the Father. Well, preacher, I mean, that's no one, no, there's no expectation on that. Okay, but we should try to please the Father in everything we do. Whatsoever you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do to the glory of God. I mean, I don't know why we live in a city that has so many red lights. I'd rather go back to Central Lake and live in a town that had no red lights. I never had to give an account of myself before the Lord for a red light until I moved to Florida. And now I'm making up for lost time. Do I always do right? Well, do you always do right? I'm not going to answer that question. I'll answer it for me. I don't always do right. But I appreciate the Lord coming along saying, Aaron, you didn't do that right. Why? Because I want to please him. I want to please him. I'll tell you a funny story. It's funny to me. It might not be funny to you. If it's not funny to you, don't worry about it. So I was sitting at the light, we're at Leonard Road, that way, Leonard Road, over there, Walmart. And I was turning left, and it's one of these little Priuses. Jack, your favorite car, Prius. Don't get him started. Him and Democrats. And the Prius. So there's a Prius next to me. But on the back of it, he has a Vote for Charlie Crist sticker on it. So I got my window down. I had Jack's truck, window down. I'm looking at that thing and in my mind, I'm thinking, don't matter what I'm doing. I turn the corner and the Lord puts him right beside me again. And I had my arm like this out the window and I just went with my thumb like this. And you know what he did? He went. I don't always do things right. Now you might have given a thumbs up to it. I don't care. Fine. I just didn't at that time. I don't care. I'm just glad where I had to go, I turned before he went straight. I'm glad he didn't follow me into where I went. But I'll say this. Careful with that stuff. I'm not saying that as a good thing. I've seen it before and been in the car before where somebody made a gesture to somebody and they didn't receive it. And it was bad. So just be careful. But do you do everything right? The Lord did. Isn't that amazing? That's an amazing statement to me. He did always the things that please the Father. You should desire to do always the things that please God. Keep going if you would, please. Verse 30. And then he says, for I do always those things that please him. You know, you were created for his great pleasure. You're created to bring him pleasure. You're created to please him. You're saved. That's what he wants you to do. And so back to 30. And then he spake these words. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. As he spake, I won't read it to you. I don't have the sake of time. 1 Corinthians, Paul reminds you, it's the foolishness of preaching. There is something about the words of God going forth, isn't there not? And so the Lord speaks, and many believe. Verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now there's a lot of statements in the book of John about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's where you have to rightly divide the Bible. Because when they state believe on him, they have to believe on him as the Son of God and as the Messiah. You know, that's different than how we believe on him. We believe that he died, was buried, and rose again for your sin and my sin. It's not just that we believe he's the Son of God. The Bible says even the devils believe there. Not just believing that Jesus is God. It's not even just believing that Jesus is the Son of God. It's not believing that Jesus is the Messiah for you and I today. See, back there, and as many will do today, they'll take the gospel and put salvation and discipleship together. For today, it doesn't go that way today. Take up your cross and follow me. Back there in Matthew, those statements were made, but those aren't statements for us today. The way you get saved today is by the blood of Jesus Christ, your faith, and his death, his burial, and his resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15. And then you'll want to follow him, and then you'll want to be a follower of the word. But the discipleship and salvation don't go together. Well, if you then be my disciple, no. That's then. So all the statements you read about believe on the Son of God, there's plenty in the book of John you can go to, but they don't even know about the cross yet. He just said when he get lifted up, then you'll know. I mean, there's lots of things going on, but they had to believe him and believe to be his disciple. A lot of statements in the Old Testament, in the book of John, about believing on Jesus. There's something we can make clear application for this age. But just like when we tell someone to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but you know what you mean. Well, just believe on the Lord. Well, there's more than just believing that Jesus is God for you to get saved. I hope you realize that. You're looking at me, well, that's all I believe, that Jesus is God. No. You're a sinner. You deserve hell. Yes, he is the Son of God, but he came and he died. He shed his blood on Calvary's cross. You must believe that he died, 1 Corinthians 15, and was buried and rose again. You know the greatest sign that the Lord gave to those that you read about back there in Hebrews and those people there is his resurrection. 500 people seen him after he rose from the grave. That's a pretty good witness, is it not? Why would not the whole world turn out to see a dead man living?
Good question.
If today you could raise the dead, don't they have things called dead man walking and stuff like that? People are gone with it. If you took someone who died and put them in a grave for 3 days and three nights, and then they rose from that grave, I'm pretty sure the whole world would be attacked, would be looking, just like what's going to happen in the tribulation.
Yeah, that's right.
Why didn't they have that same assignment about Jesus? Didn't he tell him 3 days his temple? I'll tear it down, but I'll build it up. Didn't he tell him about what was going to happen? And they kind of knew some of his preaching and what he was doing there. And all of a sudden, there he dies on the cross. You think they would all be sitting around that tomb out there by the groves, waiting for him to come out? That's not what they did. They all went away. I think it's in Acts 1, 500 people. 500. Believed, watched, seen him. You need to believe that he died, was buried, and rose again in your place. Not that just he's the Son of God, nor their Messiah. There's more than that for us. Go back, if you would, please, to John. I must hurry. I'm not going to get to everything I thought I would. Verse 30 again, as he spoke these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. See, they had some things. Aren't you glad you just had to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you don't have to work to keep it?
Amen.
But you sure do work after you got it because you love him. You got liberty to serve him now.
Amen.
That's a real blessing. Verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That truth in Jesus Christ. And thank God for that truth. All right, it's found in Jesus Christ. There's freedom in Jesus Christ with that truth. Verse 33. And they answered him. And now here they go. They're going to go at him here. Here's these Pharisees. And look what they do. They're going after him here. Then they answered him. We be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. Oh, really? Isn't Exodus all about the Exodus from Egypt? Weren't they in bondage? Yeah, they were in bondage. That's not a right. That's a false statement.
Amen.
That's them saying, what do you mean we were not in bondage to any man? And then they go on and say, how sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, 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 I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Bondage, bondage. You serve sin, you'll be in bondage. So go read Romans 6. I don't have time to take you there. You know what Jesus does? He goes right at them. He goes right at them with the truth, right at their heart. And he says, Jesus answered him, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. Now, that's a great verse for you and I if you think about it. I'll let you sit there and just read it one more time and see if you get the truth out of it. Aren't you glad you're better than a servant to Jesus, to God? Aren't you his, John 1:12? To them gave you power to become the sons of God. Who abides forever? The son. Woo, glory. I'm glad I'm going forever. I'm glad I'm going forever. Now, I want to serve him. And thank God I could be a servant down here. We've gone through that many, many times. And you're to serve him and all the things there and to the and along the line there. But I'm glad I am the son of God. And abide forever. And then look what he says in 36. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed. But ye seek to kill me. Because my word hath no place in you. I mean, the Lord knew they were the seed of Abraham. Jesus here, he's plainly speaking spiritually to them. They just could not understand the spiritual. He said, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me? Because my word hath no place in you. I speak. I'll pause, preach for just a second. Does God's word have a place in you? Just because you hold it on your lap doesn't mean you got it in your heart. He says, hide thy word in thy heart. It doesn't automatically get in there. You put it in there. Did you hide it in there today? If you didn't, you got a more likely chance you're going to sin. Hide thy word in thy heart that thy might not. Yeah, you're not going to stop yourself. You better have a buffer somewhere. You better have something that says, hey, you're about ready to get in a mess. Better get out of that situation. I gave it to you in 1 Thessalonians, even the appearance of evil. I was having a conversation a couple days ago with some people. And I was like, you know what? You might not know, you think, you know, you can say you didn't do any wrong, and that's fine. And your testimony speaks for yourself. But that Bible clearly tells you to abstain from even the appearance of evil. Why even give somebody the appearance that you're doing something wrong? Why? Because in their eyes, they don't know what it is. I told you the story before. Those pretzel rod things. You know, the pretzel rod sticks. I was in my car one time. I was eating those things. You know how it gets like about that big and I just had it right here. I was biting and I had it in my mouth to get something else. And somebody was next to me and they looked at me and they kind of double looked. And I'm like, this probably looks like I have a cigar in my mouth. Not a big deal to anybody else and probably not a big deal to you. You would be like, no big deal. It's just a pretzel, right?
But you don't want to give the appearance. Did you stop eating pretzel bobs? No, I just don't eat them in my car. I definitely don't go like this with them. Why do you have to drink from a wine glass? Drink from a regular glass.
Right.
Why do you have to drink from a bottle that looks like a beer bottle even though it's root beer? Yeah. What's the appearance you're trying to give? What are you trying to give? But the Bible says abstain from the appearance of evil. That's good.
I told you my IBC root beer thing before with my dad. I won't rehash that story. It's a bad story. But we do not buy those. Why do you have to have the sparkling water? It looks like a wine bottle. Why do you have to pop the top and let the fizzy come out? Well, it's just to celebrate. What are you celebrating? And why are you celebrating like the world? Why are you lifting your glasses and saying cheers and all that? What's the appearance? Hey, the Lord knows many things. Well, I don't have a problem with that, preacher. No problem. Take it up between you and God. It's never between you and the preacher. Between you and God. Well, he's okay. Hey, did you ask him? Did you ask him if everything in your house is okay with him? You know, that's a good question to ask the Lord. Have you ever just went home in your own house, men, ladies? So, Lord, is everything in my house pleasing to you? Or you're hiding something? Well, nobody else knows it's in the cabinet, but God does. And if you have kids, I bet you your kids do. My brother tells the story. I didn't know it. It kind of makes me sick to my stomach, too, because I would have been the one who died. But I don't remember it. He's got a good memory or just a lying memory. But he tells the story that when my mom and dad, we were home, just he and I, and he found my dad's .22 pistol. And he used to play with that thing and bring it out with us and stuff like that and those kind of things there. And, you know, it was back in the day, it was a secret. You know, when he got like 40, he was willing to admit it to dad, and dad still beat him. But you say, well, what's the big deal? No one knows about it. Well, God knows about it.
Yes.
Again, don't you want to be pleasing to God? Man, I want to be pleasing to God. I don't know. I kind of lay my head on my pillow at night. I trust you do the same thing. I don't always do it. I'm not trying to be super spiritual to you, but you want to be spiritual. That Bible makes you want to be spiritual. Knowing your Savior makes you want to be spiritual. Knowing what he did for you makes you want to be spiritual. Knowing where you get to go someday should make you want to be spiritual. Knowing what you escape should make you want to be spiritual. Do things right in the eyes of God. Well, what's the matter, preacher? I'm saved. Well, no. It does matter. It does matter. Is everything in your vehicle pleasing to God? I was just using that as an example. I called Brother Beeman on the phone the other day, and I was going to stop by and pick up something from him there. I was coming back from one, and I was driving by. And I was like, but I told you before, I don't just pop into people's houses anymore. And so I'm driving by. Now, Brother Beeman, I could have probably popped in on your house, but I just didn't want to bother your dear wife with five kids and another one on the way, and you sleeping. So I'm driving. I'm literally right at the light at his house, and I'm thinking, I look back and it's nothing back. I'll just keep going. I don't do that. But could someone pop in at your house? I trust they could. Or are they going to hear you yelling and screaming at each other? Because that's just what we do at our house, and that's how we got brawling and contentiousness. Kind of gets a little silent there, doesn't it? Well, God's always. You never can turn away from it. You don't get to go out the door and get in your car and go home and say, well, I'm away from church now. I'll give you all those things about a Pharisee next week. But one of the things a Pharisee is he's not the same in public as he is in private. I'll show you all the passages. One thing about a Pharisee is, but are you the same here when you go out the doors out there? I realize there's some times it doesn't always go that way, but aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus Christ? And you know when you're out of step. But you don't want to remain out of step. You don't want to remain in that place. I'll finish the passage and I'll be done.
He said, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. You're either going to give place to the Lord or you're going to give place to the devil. I'd never give place to the devil. Come Sunday night and see maybe how, or come Sunday morning and Sunday night and see how many places you may give. Is it yours or is it God's? The love of money is the root of all evil. You know what comes with money? Power. Power. You know what people use their money for and why they love having money and love money? It's because of the power it brings. Power over people and to control people and those kind of things. Careful with that stuff. It's the root of all evil. The love of money. I don't love money. Then why do you call it my money? I got it. It's your money. Don't get me wrong. I got it. We're all going to say it. But is it really yours or is it the Lord's? Do you use it or do you give it? He gave you a whole Sunday school lesson a few weeks ago about that. Do you use it to control people? Or do you just give it? Well, aren't you glad God gives to you? He doesn't try to use it to control you. He gave you eternal life. But he put a free will in you. You can either choose this day to serve him or not serve him. You still got eternal life. It's interesting. Says again, my word hath no place in you. What kind of place does the word have in you? I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. Uh-oh. I've seen what I've done with my father, and you have a father? Well, verse 42, 3, 4 there, you're going to get into it, but let's keep going. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Uh-oh. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. You know what Abraham did? Just go back and listen to Brother John's Sunday school. But now you seek to kill me? A man that told you the truth? Didn't Paul say, I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Which I have heard of God? Somebody shouldn't become your enemy because they tell you the truth of the book. That's a Pharisee. That's someone getting offended, easily offended, because the Bible offended you. You love that book, you won't be offended. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. There they go again. Accusing the Lord. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. In verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Let him that have ears, let him hear. Just because you have ears doesn't mean you're hearing the word of God. You could have sat here for 61 minutes and not heard anything. Or you could sit here for 61 minutes and say, thank God.